Welcome to the Carlin Load Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, recently we've had another running of the Melbourne Cup.
Did we?
Yeah, I think
so. When did that happen?
It happened on the second Tuesday of November.
Is that normal? Is that when it normally runs?
Yes. At Flemington, yeah. And I tell you, I must admit, I did not watch the race. I was doing other things, never even thought about it. But I know Gold Trip won and Emissary was second. There was a bit of controversy with the rider. And Juville Legend came third. But I'll tell you what interests me more is some of the films they've made about Melbourne Cups.
Well, the most recent one I think I watched was Ride Like a Girl.
Yeah, come out a
I
couple
quite years enjoyed ago. That. That was a good movie.
Yeah. Now, Michelle Payne, she was the first jockey to ever win the Melbourne Cup. First female jockey to ever win the Melbourne Cup. And there hasn't been another female since. So that was, 2015 on Prince of Penzance, which was 100-1.
No, 100-1. That's
the longest odds.
Yeah.
It's been done four times by 100-1 winner. But the funny thing is, another film was Farlap. And, of course, when Farlap won in 1930, he was at the shortest ever odds of 8-11.
Wow. And 8-11.
Yeah.
8-11. I've never heard those odds.
Nor have I. Not for Melbourne Cup.
I haven't seen that movie.
It would come out in
Farlap. When was that? Was that a while ago?
1983.
Oh, okay.
Had Tom Burleson.
Tom Burleson. He was in that other one. I quite that horse one. What was that?
Yeah.
A Man from Snowy River. That was
a year
great.
Before, yeah. 1982.
Well, they did a couple of those, didn't they?
Yeah. And you know.
And Sigrid Thornton.
Yeah. And he
Kirk
also.
Douglas.
Yeah. That's going back here.
Well, that's not Melbourne Cup.
No, but the year after.
Yeah. Well,
Farlap is obviously probably our most famous Melbourne Cup winner.
Yes, I think, it'd be interesting to ask. I don't think the current generation would know about Farlap, would they? But I think previous, we all know, Farlap is like a legend.
Well, I'll dispute that because,
I'll test that. I'll ask at school and say, hey, who's Farlap?
Yeah.
I'll see how many kids know.
Also ask who's Don Bradman, because if they know Don Bradman, they should know Farlap.
Well, I know, but it's I would think everybody knows Farlap in Australia.
Yeah.
But then, I guess as time goes on, and especially, it's interesting you say about the Melbourne Cup because, it certainly used to be a big interest here at work. It's no longer because a lot of people are changing their attitudes towards horse racing and gambling. And, of course, we talked about the netball sponsorship and people being activists and thinking differently about certain things. And, of course, that's happening to the racing industry as well.
It is. And you know, the funny thing is we've spoken about gambling in sport and we don't approve of it. But, people having a flutter on the Melbourne Cup once a year and they have sweeps and things like that, I've never really had a problem with that as long as it was, done in moderation for a bit of fun.
Yeah, it's a bit like two up, isn't it?
On Anzac Day.
So it's those type of a bit of a tradition, isn't it? But even yesterday or the other, when the Melbourne Cup was on, obviously someone was out there trying to pump a whole lot of sludge onto the track, and people were blocking accesses. So it's going to be a problem that they're going to have to try and battle, though, I guess, over the next period of time.
Yeah, it is. It's funny, but at the end of the day, the Melbourne Cup comes up every year, so it's in people's minds. So that's why I believe Farlap would still be well known, same as Test cricket's still alive, and Don Bradman be well known. So I just think those legends from that period, which was a depression. So we're talking about our grandparents, our great grandparents always talked about it. So I think they're two of the traditions that have been passed down. So everyone would know, in my opinion, Don Bradman and Farlap.
Apart from Farlap, who would you say is the most famous horse to win?
Probably Archer, going back the first two races back in 1860s. But I remember Piping Lane when it won, and all these other horses. And of course, we've got Makiba Diva won the three in a row in 2003, 2004, 2005. And of course, she was Port Lincoln owners. So I would say Farlap would be number one. And there's other horses like Galilean and all these others that stick in Rainbow Lover, all these horses. But I think Archer, because it won the first two Melbourne Cups.
And it's now an international event, isn't it? There's horses coming from all over the world to race.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you look at Black Caviar, didn't run in the Melbourne Cup, but, she went over to race in the English race. So the horses are quite often going into other countries. And even far left, he went to Mexico, to Asia, Mexico. He was killed in I believe, in USA. So I suppose it's always been that tradition where horses go to other countries to race.
And Farlap is an interesting story. Now, I remember going to the Melbourne Museum and seeing Farlap there.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Would that be right?
I think so. And the,
I mean, obviously not alive and kicking, but.
You know, its heart is somewhere as well. It had a very famous heart. And, yeah, it's sort of legendary. It's like it's like people in England still talk about, you know, W.G. Grace for the cricket. I mean, there are certain legends that transcend time and history, and I think Farlap's like that for us.
Now, can you remember, do you know the jockey's name who won this year?
No.
Me either, but I see the horse was the top weight.
Yeah?
And were, yeah, so that's unusual. It's the top for the top weight to win. And like obviously it was a pretty wet track because there'd been a lot of rain, and even on the day they had a lot of rainfall. So maybe that helped. Maybe that horse is just a big, strong horse. But the jockey on the news was saying basically like he was just so relaxed. He was such a relaxed run, and then he just had the strength and power to keep going at the end. But the horse that came third came from last.
Yeah.
Coming onto the home straight.
And it's just exciting when that happens.
Yeah,
it
came flying through.
Yeah. Well, you know, getting back to some of the movies, there's three major Melbourne Cup movies. I mean, there was a documentary about Archer. There was a documentary about the Melbourne Cup in up to 2002. And there's some really great footage on YouTube of 1896. It goes for about 6 or 7 minutes. But there's three major films in Australia about the Melbourne Cup. Do you know any of them? Obviously, you spoke about Farlap.
Ride Like a Girl.
Yes.
And we said Farlap. There would be one other. I don't know.
The Cup.
The Cup.
2011.
Oh, that's a good name.
Yeah, but that's an interesting story. It's about Daniel Oliver that won the Melbourne Cup that particular year. He's won one before and one after as well. But his father was killed in a racing accident in the 70s, and his brother was killed in a training accident for horse racing a week before the Melbourne Cup. So, you know, the Melbourne Cup does have a lot of interesting stories. I mean, you talked about the horse DeVille Legend that came from last place to come third, and there's the stories about Farlap was the second year had so much weight on him, that's why he couldn't win. He was sort of leading, but he just died away because they put too much weight on him, and that's why he went overseas. And you know, and of course Daniel Oliver's a lovely story. You know, the way he sort of triumphed over adversity, and I'll never forget when he went over the finish line. He got up, stood up in the stirrups, and pointed to heaven for his brother.
Yeah, that's nice.
And Ride Like a Girl's interesting because, you know, she was the youngest of 10 kids, and her mother died when she was 6 months old, and I think eight of the family were jockeys. Father was a trainer, and she got into it, and she wanted to be a Melbourne Cup winner from like the age of seven, and she had some huge accidents, but she kept persevering, and then she ended up doing on Prince of Penzance in 2015. It's just a fantastic story.
I've only watched the movie, so I know when they make movies, they take a bit of poetic license, don't they?
A little bit, but fairly close.
Yeah, based on true story. And it was like her, she obviously had a very tough life, and her dad, for example, who obviously was involved in the horse industry, had to look after the kids, do the training, etc. And he said had brothers who were jockeys as well. So it's a hard life, isn't it, being a jockey? I mean, it's one of those things, you're up early, doing all that work with the horses. It's got to be a pretty tough job, I imagine.
And if I remember correctly, Michelle Payne had a brother that had something like autism or one of those types of problems. He was in the film.
Yes, he was. He was actually, he played himself, didn't he?
Which was fantastic. Yeah. And while we're talking about that, in Farlap, obviously Tom Burleson played Tommy Woodcock, who was the strapper. And I think he ended up being the trainer when they went, you know, to America. But Tommy Woodcock himself played a trainer in that movie.
Oh, excellent.
So there's all, you know.
And I love the Ride Like a Girl really showed how difficult it was for a girl to break into that industry and get taken seriously.
Well, you know, the speeches afterwards, they never sort of took their hat off to her that she was the first female jockey to win the Melbourne Cup. At the time, they kind of almost were, not oblivious to it all. Yet she did get recognised as in things like the Order of Australia, whatever. She got recognition later on, but that was a magnificent achievement. It really was.
It was. And, for example, Jamie Carr is another female jockey who comes from our area, who raced in the Melbourne Cup just the other day. So there might be maybe another girl to win down in a few years.
Well, I hope so. But, Michelle had raced in the Melbourne Cup like in 2009 before she had a big accident where she bruised her brain when she fractured her skull. And she actually had her apprenticeship put on hold while she was recovering. So it allowed her sort of to get back on the horse, which was, just a magnificent story. But she was only the fourth female to actually ride in the Melbourne Cup when she won it.
Yeah, well, it's not unusual, is it? We're seeing that obviously girls haven't had those opportunities, but people like her are breaking down those barriers and making it more likely that other girls can follow.
I was listening to you before when you were talking about some of the protesters at the Melbourne Cup, and I find that a little bit annoying, because wouldn't it be better to sort of put your grievances down and sort of be heard in Parliament or be heard in the media, rather than making a little bit of a spectacle of yourself and sort of turning some people off? Wouldn't it be better to try and win people over?
Oh, well, it's easy for us to sit back and say, but I guess these people have a certain belief and they're passionate about it, just like we are about other things, and they know that disruption to something major like that is going to get a lot of airtime, and they might feel that they don't have a voice anywhere else. So if they feel that they can't go and, as you say, go to Parliament or speak to government people, then they've got no other choice. We're seeing it all around the world, aren't we? Especially now in art galleries.
Yeah,
people gluing themselves, or even to roads now and so on, because it creates attention.
Yeah.
And so there's obviously those activists think that's a type of protesting that's going to work for them. I mean, if you're a driver on the road trying to get to work and there's people glued to the road, I don't think you're going to be too sympathetic to their cause. And the same sort of thing, isn't it? If you're interested in the horse industry, you're not going to be really sympathetic to what they're trying to protest. So, but that's protest for you, isn't it? Everyone's going to have their own point of view. But I just think it's something now that has to be considered in the planning, doesn't it? Like the people running it, how does someone actually get onto the track and start pumping oily sludge onto the track? I mean, how is that even possible?
What happens if someone's injured or worse, killed because of their actions?
Well, they're the things, isn't it? And that then takes it to a point where obviously the protesting's gone too far.
I do sympathise with a lot of people's views. I think in this day and age we need to take everything into account. But, the Melbourne Cup is a tradition that's been run. What are the main problems? I don't think their message is quite getting through. I think it seems to the majority of people they're just protesting because of the fact that it's a Melbourne Cup, whereas they've probably got legitimate reasons with cruelty to animals and gambling especially. I mean, these are issues.
Well, I think the guy who was pumping the stuff on the track was a problem gambler.
Yeah.
I don't know if the people protesting at other sites blocking entrances were linked to cruelty to animals, but they may have been. But often now you've got people, protesting climate change, et cetera, in a range of different venues. And then you've got those just sometimes serial offenders, those who just want to create a problem.
If they do get their way and they cancel the Melbourne Cup and don't have racing anymore, I mean, what's the next thing on the agenda?
Well, they're not going to stop it, are they? Because look at the industry. It's a huge industry and there's a lot of interest in the industry, and we can all have our opinions on gambling and so on, but I don't know how many billions of dollars it is,
it's
industry around the world or even in Australia. So, people have got their chance to have their say and act a certain way, but we don't always agree with it.
But at the end of the day, whether you like racing or not, all three of those films, Farlap, The Cup and Ride Like a Girl, just for the drama effect, just for the storytelling, they're worth sitting down and watching.
They are, and it just shows that in all aspects of life, there's some great stories that obviously people look and go, we can do something with that, and it resonates with people when they watch it. And, of course, it is part of our history, Melbourne Cup.
Well, thank you for your thoughts on that, Sean. So ends another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.